Paul. Well, again, good morning. Good to see all of you this morning. So thankful that you're here with us this morning as we worship God together here at the Central Church of Christ. If you're visiting, again, please stick around after services and get us a chance to get to know you and get to shake your hand. It'd be nice if my clicker worked, Andrew. So we've been involved, if you're visiting with us, I want you to know we've been involved in a series called Rooted. We're kind of looking at some biblical principles, basic principles, and that word always gets people on their toes. Holy Spirit. Everybody loves to talk about the Holy Spirit, don't they? And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We've talked a lot of things about faith, about baptism, about truth. And last week, I know we kind of took a break and talked about our grandparents, so thankful for them. But today we want to kind of continue and get back in our Rooted series and talk about the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, the Holy Spirit is one of those that we often like to go to different sources to get answers. We like to talk to different people. We like to read a lot of different books, but we're not going to do that this morning. What we're going to do is we're going to look at God's Word and see what God has to say about the Holy Spirit. We're not going to go beyond that. We don't have the right to go beyond that. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter 1:3 that God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. Everything that we need to get to heaven is in His Word. He has told us these things. And so how dare we go beyond that? And how dare we sell that short? So understand, this morning, I'm not here to debate the Holy Spirit with you. You want to do that? Go find another preacher or go find another somebody else to debate with, because I'm not going to debate it. I'm not here to persuade you to take Ryan's view. Again, I want us to look at God's Word and see what God's Word says pertaining the Holy Spirit. And I'll say this. I feel like I'm not prepared for this sermon this morning. I feel like I couldn't get prepared for this sermon. In fact, for the next 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, because there's a lot. You cannot cover the Holy Spirit in one Sunday. You cannot cover the Holy Spirit in this hour and a half sermon, right? Got that one amen. But I'll tell you, in my study over the last few years about the Holy Spirit, from what I used to believe, it has changed. My convictions on the Holy Spirit have changed significantly, and I hope to shed some light about what Jesus and about what God says about His Holy Spirit. And I'll say this too, none of this is original with me. Again, I've listened to a lot of sermons, I've read a lot of articles, I've read a lot of chapters and books about the Holy Spirit, about what other people are saying, about what God says, commentaries and things like that. But so what I want us to do, and I did that, I prayed to God and I said, God, you know, when I study the Holy Spirit, I want fresh eyes, I want fresh ears. All the traditional stuff, get that out of my head. I want to look at it with fresh eyes. And that's what I want us to do with this study, is look at it with fresh eyes and listen to God's Word with fresh ears. You know, you have to think, when is the last time you really studied the Holy Spirit? We talk about Him a lot. In fact, Acts 2:38, that's about the only time I think sometimes we reference the Holy Spirit, is when we get the gift of the Holy Spirit there at baptism. But when's the last sermon I haven't preached one here since I've been here, so it's been at least almost 3 years. All right, when's the last time you've had a class on the Holy Spirit? When's the last time in your personal studies you've looked at the Holy Spirit? So many people are hesitant about the Holy Spirit. So many people are hesitant to talk about, to study the Holy Spirit. And I think, and listen, I'm going to give you 2 points this morning that are probably going to step on a lot of toes, and that's okay. But then I'm going to encourage you with 2 more points towards the end of the sermon. But these first two, I want you to really listen, please. I think the reason that a lot of Christians don't understand the Holy Spirit is because they don't need the Holy Spirit. They don't need the Holy Spirit. Let's be honest. Most Christians can live pretty good without the Holy Spirit. They've got their talents. They've got their Bibles. They've got their worship service. They've got their church that they're a part of. And to be honest, they can live pretty comfortable without the Holy Spirit. And so what we do is we begin to settle for Christianity that requires that, hey, if I just give a little bit here, if I attend church like a regular person, if I'm a good citizen, then my life is going to be pretty good. And guess what? If that is your mentality, then you don't need any type of help to do that. You don't need help to do that. John chapter 14 and verse 26, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the Comforter. In fact, that is one of the most used terms to describe the Holy Spirit throughout the Bible. So let's be honest. You don't need a comforter if you are comfortable in your life. You don't need it. You don't need it. If it is your goal in life to be comfortable in your walk with God, then why in the world do I need a comforter? Why do I need that? Because what often happens is Christians, they look at the Word of God and they start reading the Word of God, right? And James says the Word of God is a mirror. And we start looking at that mirror and we start saying, hey, what God is saying in my life really isn't on par here. In fact, I'm nowhere close to that. But I'll tell you, I'm pretty comfortable and I feel pretty good at where I'm at in my own life. So I'm just going to stay right here where I'm at. Because I've got a good life. I've got what I need. We leave the helper on the shelf. Because if I step outside of my comfort zone, then guess what? I may realize that I can't do it by myself. I might get uncomfortable. I might be taken out of my comfort zone. So Holy Spirit, don't get too close. God, don't get too close. I've got this. And I'll tell you right now, no, you don't. You don't have it. I don't have it. The idea of following Jesus is that, to follow. So many times in our lives we want to lead. We want to be in charge. It's my family. It's my house. It's my car. It's my church. A lot of times we have the idea that we can lead and that we don't need anyone else because we know how to do it. But see, the idea of following Jesus is to let Him lead. He leads the way, not me. You know, one of the reasons that the early church grew so much in times of great persecution is because that church got out of their comfort zone and they trusted their comforter. That is exactly what they did. They trusted in the Holy Spirit to help lead them in that direction. So when someone asks me, why isn't the Lord's church growing as it once did? I'm going to be honest and I'm going to tell you, you better put your feet underneath the pews. Because we've gotten comfortable. That's what we've done. We have gotten comfortable. I've gotten comfortable. And you don't necessarily need a comforter in our lives. We need to rely more on the comforter. We need to rely more on God in our lives. We've got to. But that is why God gave us this gift. So He could comfort us. And so one of the reasons I think a lot of times we don't understand the Holy Spirit is because maybe do we even need the Holy Spirit? I'll tell you, you do. I'll tell you that right now. We do need the Holy Spirit in our lives. And number two, it's because of careless teaching. There are a great number of Christians, myself included, that do not understand everything there is to know about the Holy Spirit. And I don't think we ever will. There are a lot of questions. I have more questions than God gives me answers. But I do have faith in God, and I do trust God that He will do what He tells me that He will do. But when you're talking about the Holy Spirit, it's one of two things that people either debate on. And if you grew up in the church, you know these things. If you didn't grow up in the church, you're fixing to learn these things. Two views that were taught. Either the Spirit dwells in the Word, which I believe is nowhere taught in Scripture. I believe there's a difference between the sword of the Spirit and the Spirit of God. And there's a view that the Spirit only dwells in the Christian only. Let me tell you something. As one minister said, we need to be very careful about any theology that puts the Holy Spirit on tranquilizers. You need to be very, very careful about that. Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But, Paul says, if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, Then Paul said, "He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." Now, I will say this. Those of you out here, I know there's a lot of different views on the Holy Spirit. I know there are some here that views that it dwells in the Word. I know that some of you that views that it dwells in the Christian. I will say this. You cannot separate the Spirit of God from the Word of God. You cannot. You cannot separate the Spirit of God from the Word of God. It is like Jesus and the Spirit. They are inseparable. You cannot separate them. So many teachers and so many preachers have built a wall around the Holy Spirit. One minister said this, "So many people treat the Holy Spirit like they have a controlled burn." Growing up, someone on a farm, we used to, every 2 years, we used to burn the farm off. And we'd have the forestry department come in there and they'd plow these lines. Every year it got out, I don't know how. But they plow these lines around the fields, all right? And they're hay fields. And we would burn them off. A lot of people do that with the Holy Spirit. God, I want your gift. I want your Holy Spirit, but you're going to have to let me control it. You're going to have to let me build this. Listen, you and I do not have the right. We don't even have the ability to do that. You cannot control God because you're not God. We cannot go beyond what God provides for us either. There are a lot of studying about the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of crazy ideas out there. Some of them that aren't even supported by God's Word. And we have to be careful about that. Let's never, everybody makes fun of me because I'm from Georgia. South Georgia taught. Well, there it is. We never go beyond what God provides for us. Once again, 2 Peter 1:3, God has given us everything we need to get to heaven. He's given us everything that we need to live a good life and to live a godly life. And let's remember that. Let's not sell that short and let's not go beyond that. But if there's anything that we need in our spiritual lives, friends, let me tell you something. We need to know more about the Holy Spirit. We don't need to neglect it. We don't need to ignore it. We don't need to push it to the side. We don't need to limit Him. But we need to look at the words of Jesus and say, "Jesus, what did you tell me about the Holy Spirit? What did you tell me that the Holy Spirit is going to do for me in my life?" God did not give us something to be scared of. It's not one of those gifts from grandma. No offense, grandmas. But my grandma used to give me some pretty crazy gifts. One year I got literally a tube sock full of pennies. It's her idea of teaching me how to count, I guess. But it's not some gift that we kind of got to look at and be like, "I don't know about that." You know, we shake it. What's in that? That's not what God has given us. Our God is a good God. Amen? And our God knows how to give good gifts. And we'll look at that in just a minute. But the Spirit of God is a good gift. One of the verses we often go to is Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And we mentioned where Peter says the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why in the world would you want to refuse a gift from a loving God? Why would we fear a gift from a loving God? What has the Holy Spirit ever done in our lives to make us afraid of Him? To make us not want to mention Him? In fact, to make us, when somebody does mention Him, either we're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, or we're like, "I don't know, let's talk about something else." Two things I want to share with you. And again, we're going to talk about this next week, or maybe the week after that. But I just want to kind of touch the hem of the garment this morning. Number one, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit is God. We have got to get that. We have to understand that. It's simple, I know, but the problem is a lot of Christians don't understand that. One of the questions I get a lot of times concerning the Holy Spirit, they say, "Is the Holy Spirit a person or is the Holy Spirit a force?" And I want to encourage you this morning, I want to tell you this morning, I'm going to answer this for everybody. He is a person. One minister said this, "The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, not the third wheel of the Godhead." He is the third person. over and over and over and over throughout Scripture, especially in the New Testament, over 200 something times, the Holy Spirit is referred to as speaking, as teaching, as bearing witness, as guiding, as hearing, as telling, as forbidding, as interceding, that He has a mind, that He has knowledge, that He possesses affection, that He can be grieved, He can be blasphemed, He can be insulted to, He can be lied to, He can be resisted. You can't do that to a force. You do those things to a person. And that's how you can do those, because He is a person. We're not talking about some type of power that God gives us the ability to tap into when we need it. That is not what the Holy Spirit is. But instead, He says you can have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Paul, when he's closing out his letter there in 2 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 16, it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus. All right. Then you have the love of God, and then you have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Holy Spirit is an He. It's not an it. The Holy Spirit is God. He isn't a ghost. I don't like that translation, Holy Ghost, because it kind of gives that mystical feeling about it. He is a person. He is God. And He gives us comfort. He gives us comfort. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. When you get to John chapter 14, Jesus has just finished instituting the Lord's Supper. He's now going to begin to talk to His apostles to give them some type of comfort here. He's comforting them because He is about to go to the cross. His death on the cross is near. And He's telling His disciples that, guys, you know, my time is coming. And basically, Jesus is beginning to give them His last minute arrangements. This is how it's got to be. I'm sorry. John chapter 14 and verse 1, He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Guess what? I'm leaving. And Thomas starts to question, what do you mean you're leaving? And we always talk about doubting Thomas because he doubted Jesus. Well, guess what? Philip does the same thing. I don't ever hear about doubting Philip. All right? They're all starting to doubt. But, I mean, do you blame them? I mean, you think about it. This group of guys has been with Jesus. They've been through some hard times with Jesus. They've been around when Jesus has taught some of His most powerful lessons. And all of a sudden, He's instituted the Lord's Supper, and their minds are going in 100 different directions. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, guys, I've got to go. I've got to go. But what's amazing about Jesus is He's not saying, I'm leaving and that's it. Good luck with everything. Good luck with everything. I want you to keep following me in my direction, but good luck with that. He doesn't leave them hanging. Three times in John 14, verse 16, Jesus says, guess what? There's a helper. He begins to teach them about the Holy Spirit. John 14, 26, the helper. John 15, 26, the helper. A lot of your translations may say advocate. A lot of them may say friend. A lot of them may say comfort. John 16, 7, He says, it is to your advantage that I go away. Well, why is that such a good thing, Jesus? Because He says, I'm sending a helper. Another helper. So these guys are thinking the worst right now. Jesus is leaving us. And He says, guys, I'm not leaving you, okay? The best is actually yet to come. The best is yet to come. Jesus says the Holy Spirit, when He comes, He's going to bring you relief. He's going to help you. He's going to comfort you. He is going to be your advocate, some of the older translations say. A friend, some of our paraphrase versions say. Luke 11, verses 11 through 13. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? If he asks for an egg, he said, who among you is going to give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, talking about us, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Jesus says the Holy Spirit is going to comfort you. He's bearing good things. Retailers love gift cards. From time to time, we'll receive one. I know you have two. In fact, a lot of families have, and they keep gift cards. From 2005 to 2011, over $41 billion of gift cards went unused. That's a lot of unspent money. And that's the reasons why retailers love them, because either they never spend the money, or when they come in, they're going to buy something else, right? You get a $25 gift card, your purchase isn't going to be $25 even. Never is. That's okay. Because, again, retailers love that. They love that. And the problem is with these unused gift cards is now our gifts, we have them, but we never receive the blessings of that gift. A lot of people receive gift cards and they're either misplaced or they're unused. And so that blessing, that gift that has been given is never used. You probably see where I'm going with this. What's true in the retail world with that is true in the spiritual world. Many Christians have this gift and they've yet to open it. They've yet to unwrap it. We have received this gift from God and it is yet to be unwrapped. James chapter 1 in verse 17 says that every perfect and good gift comes from God. Acts 2.38, and I've got these on the screen because somebody got on to me last week for not putting all these verses up here. Acts 2.38, we see that God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. John 14.17, He abides with you and will be in you. 1 Corinthians 6.19, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, that you are not your own? Romans 8 and verse 9, you are not in the flesh but in the Spirit. Is indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. And listen to this. Why don't we read this earlier? But listen to it. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. Little girl, I've used this before, but it serves a good point. Little girl was leaving services one day, and her mom are going down the road. They're heading to eat lunch. And she said, Mom, something bothered me today about the preacher's sermon. And she said, well, you know, what bothers you about it? She said, well, he talked about how God created everything and how God is so big. And I'm almost thinking, well, yeah, I mean, he's right. I mean, what? Well, he said that God puts His Spirit in us. Well, you're right, sweetie. The Bible teaches that. And her mom was just so confused. And the girl with this puzzled look on her face, she said, if God is so big and if God lives in us, shouldn't God show through us? Shouldn't He spill out? She has a point. What is inside of you this morning? One minister said, when life happens, what is inside of you will come out of you. Solomon tells us to protect our hearts because from it flow the issues of life, the springs of life. If God puts His Spirit in us, if He gives us this marvelous gift at the time of our putting on Christ in baptism, then why in the world doesn't He spill out of more Christians? If God puts His Spirit in us, and if God is bigger than the whole world, then why does His Spirit not show more in God's people? You ever wondered that? Why doesn't the fruit of the Spirit show more in people? I'm talking about love and peace and joy and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness. Galatians chapter 5. That's because the gift that He so freely gave us hasn't been unwrapped yet. God does not want us to go through this life following Him blindly, trying to make it on our own. That is the reason Jesus there is telling those disciples, those apostles, listen, guys, I know I'm leaving, but I'm sending someone to help you, to comfort you. And He tells us the same thing. He wants to help us. He wants to help guide us. He wants to help counsel us. He gives that through this amazing gift of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that if you haven't yet been given that gift, I want to encourage you this morning, as we've mentioned, Acts chapter 2, to be baptized, to repent and to be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you, just like us, will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, most of us have done that. 95% of us sitting here have done that. And so my question is, what are you doing with the gift that God is giving you? Is it still wrapped up, or is it spilling out in your life in a good way? And I pray that if you need prayers, if you need any type of help this morning, that as we stand and as we sing this song for your encouragement, that you'll make it known, you'll come down, we'll pray with you, and we'll help you in any way that we can. Paul?